Have you ever noticed that as human beings we like to control things? That we like to manage and manipulate things so that they're just so. Does anyone here do that? We like to control and manage and manipulate and fix things so that they turn out a certain way, the way that we want them to be, the way that we like them, so ultimately we can be at peace. That's really why we control things, so that we can be at peace. And so we do things like want to control what our spouse says or what our kids do, or we even want to control things by doing things like fixing college exam, entrance exams, so that our kids can get into school, so that they can get a high-paying job, so that we can be at peace. And if we're not busy manipulating or controlling or fixing things, then oftentimes what we're doing instead is we're worrying about how things are not going to work out. We're worrying and we say things to ourselves like, what if I don't do this right? Or what if he or she doesn't do this right? What if I present this talk today in a way that they don't understand? Or we say, what if they don't like me? What if they don't like the way that I do things? And you know what? To live that way, it's exhausting and it's stressful. It causes us anxiety and stomach aches and tight shoulders and difficulty sleeping, all while we are busy trying to control and manipulate those things so they'll turn out the way that we want them to. On a soul level, what we really want is to trust. On a soul level, what we really want is to let go and to know that we are safe, and to know that things are okay, to know that we are supported. We really, on a soul level, want to do is to know that life is always on our side. We want to just let go and be in the flow. But what happens is we're busy dog paddling and kicking and fighting against the water, when really what we want to do is just relax and lay back and open our shoulders and float. So the title of my talk today is Living in Grace. And I'm talking about the fact that it is only as we let go of control, it is only as we let go of a manipulation and of fear and instead trust life, then we are open to grace. It is only as we quit controlling and fixing and fighting and let go that we are then open to the omnipresence of grace, to the good that is always present. And so Ernest Holmes, the founder of this philosophy, defines grace as the givingness of spirit to its creation. So grace then, to me, is the eternal givingness of spirit to us. Grace is the givingness of spirit as all that it is to life. Grace is the ever-present good. Grace is the gifts of the spirit that express in our lives and in this world without our effort, without us having to do anything, without us needing to do anything in order for that to happen. Grace is the way that love shows up in our life. Grace is the way that peace shows up in our life. Grace is the way that beauty shows up in our life and that order shows up in our life. And so grace expresses as order in the fact that my body heals itself, that I can break a bone and that bone grows back as strong as ever. That's grace. I don't have to do anything or control anything or manipulate anything in order for that to happen. Grace is the way that love shows up in our life, in the kindness and the compassion and the generosity of a nurse when we are sick, in the kindness of a stranger, in the lending of a hand from someone that you don't even know, in the forgiveness and the open heart of someone that you've hurt, and for them to come back to you with love, that's grace. Grace is the way that beauty shows up. Seeing, witnessing a beautiful rainbow after a storm, or the gift of Marianne's voice that comes through her that is so utterly magnificent, that's grace. The fact that we get to be recipients of her singing, that is grace. We haven't done anything to earn that. We just get to receive it without doing anything. And so this week I went to El Dorado Nature Center. I was super stressed out and super overwhelmed with way too many things to do. And so I decided to just take a break, and I know how great it is going there. And as I walked through those gates and walked in and looked at the trees, I felt this peace wash over me. That's grace. And as I walked down the path and I made that first left turn, there was this Indian hawthorn bush, like 8 feet tall and wide, covered in pink flowers. And I thought to myself, oh my God, that is so beautiful. And I thought, that's grace. That is the beauty of the divine expressing itself without effort and without strain, without that bush having to do anything to have those flowers, without me having to do anything to be witness to that beauty. That's grace showing up. That divine beauty expressing itself without effort or strain, that is the very nature of God expressing. That's the grace that we live in all of the time. And as I walked a little further and I was standing on the bridge and I was watching the turtles, there were some women over in the other little garden next to me, and I heard one of them say, "It's a gift." And I thought to myself, that's what grace is. Any time in our lives we feel like, oh my gosh, this is such a gift, that's grace. Don't you think that when you see the rainbow? What a gift this is to get to see this. When you hear Marianne singing, what a gift to get to hear this. It's when we feel like something is a gift in our life, we're assured that is grace. And so there are some things that are required of us in order to experience grace in our lives, in order to step into grace because it's already present. And some of those things are letting go of our negative focus, letting go of controlling everything, trusting, and being aware, paying attention, noticing the grace as it shows up in our lives. And so that first one about letting go of our negative focus means letting go of things like telling ourselves all the time how terrible things are. Oh my God, this is so awful. And we get that story going over and over again. It means stopping telling ourselves the story about why this won't work, or why things won't work, or why I can't have it. It means stopping the story about how inept that person is that we work with, or how inept our husband is, or whoever, or how inept we are. It's letting go of that negative self-talk. Joel Goldsmith, who was a Christian Science practitioner, said, "God is not in the whirlwind. God is not in the problems. God is not in your struggle. God is not in your fear. Love is not in your struggle. Love is not in your fear. Peace is not in your struggle. Peace is not in your fear. Creativity is not in your struggle. Creativity is not in your fear. Grace is not in your struggle. It's not in your fear. It's in your letting go of that." The second thing that is required in order to experience grace is to let go of being controlling. That means to let go of thinking that your ego self is the only one that can do it, or the only one that can do it right. Instead, it means opening up to a greater possibility, opening up to something greater, letting go and being open. It's the lilies of the field. They do not toil and they do not spin. It's having a lilies of the field's consciousness, which takes us right to trust, because those lilies of the field live in trust. In order to experience grace, it is required that we trust. That we trust that life is on our side. Life is on your side. That you trust that life is on your side all of the time, even when you can't see it, because that's the truth. That you trust that life is for you. It's required that we believe that things are working out and that things are working for good. You know what? Everything is working for good all of the time, even when we don't know it. Everything is working for good. We are called to trust, really, that the entire universe is benefited as we succeed and as we thrive and as we are fulfilled, that life is on our side. The whole of life is on our side. So letting go and trusting is what's required in order to float. When you float, you have shoulders back and chest open, and you're not kicking, and you're not paddling, you're relaxing and trusting that the water is going to keep you afloat. There's no worry, what if I sink? What if this doesn't work? It's letting go. You have to let go in order to float. And the last thing is to notice or pay attention to how the grace shows up in your life. And how grateful you are for it when it shows up. To notice the kindness of a stranger. You know, if you're in your head worrying and grumbling about how terrible things are, you may not even notice the kindness of the person that is next to you. If you're busy in your head telling yourself how this is just not going to work out, you close yourself off to any creative ideas, anything new coming in. If I think that I have to control everything in order for it to work, or if you have that idea that if I want it done right, I have to do it myself, what happens is we close ourselves off from the creative ideas of anybody else, from solutions and ideas that we never would have even thought of coming through somebody else who might be there to assist us and help us. But what happens when we trust life, when we trust the universe, we activate that law of good. And grace is the result. And so I read a story this week that I'd like to share with you that is such a fabulous depiction of grace. It is from The Eye of the Storm by Gary Simmons. He says, several years ago, I presented a peace workshop training intensive to a group of ministers and lay leaders near Savannah, Georgia. It was my practice to begin our four-day schedule with an eight-hour presentation called The Eye of the Storm. That portion of the training was the essence of what was to become this book. Soon after things got started, we received word that Hurricane Floyd was due to make landfall the next day. An evacuation order was issued, causing the cancellation of the rest of our training. Jokingly, the group blamed Floyd's presence on me. They tried to make the connection between my workshop title and the fact that the eye of the storm was on its way. Affirming divine order, I proceeded to rebook my travel arrangements so I could depart with an appropriate margin of safety the following afternoon. My hosts graciously rushed me to the airport early the next day as they proceeded inland in compliance with the evacuation order. As I walked to the ticket counter, I noticed of hundreds of anxious travelers in long lines waiting to check in. Then came the announcement that all frequent flyers dread, an announcement which under normal circumstances would mean suffering, inconveniences, delays, misconnections, another bad meal in the airport restaurant. But this announcement was different. Instead of irritation, it struck terror. All flights out of Savannah are canceled. Please seek alternate transportation. Well, and the alarm goes off. Sound effects, exactly. Suddenly, throngs of people mobbed the car rental counters, frantically seeking escape from the impending disaster. Because I could be counted among the frantic, I found myself noticing how silly I must seem to God. Here, I had just spent a day teaching my colleagues the principles of being present to life without conditions, without needing things to be different, and now I failed to walk my talk. Where was my non-resistance? Where was my willingness to be at the eye of the storm? In that moment of awakening, I suddenly became calm and serene. I walked back upstairs and resolved to experience the eye of Floyd as if it were God's plan for me. I focused my attention on my center and affirmed, I am a calm, clear center of peace, radiating peace in every way. Moments later, an announcement came. Passenger Simmons, please report to gate 12 for immediate departure. It turned out I got the last seat out of the only plane leaving Atlanta. But it requires letting go. It requires trusting. It requires not trying to control and manipulate and fix, but instead trusting and allowing that infinite intelligence of the universe to unfold, to know that life is for us, to know that we are supported. That's what's required in order to experience grace. Grace happens when we let go of the struggle, when we trust in life, trust in the universe, trust in God, trust in that intelligence. Ramakrishna, who was a Hindu religious teacher, said, "The winds of God's grace are always blowing. It is for us to raise our sails." We raise our sails when we let go. We raise our sails when we trust life. Life with a capital L, when we trust the universe, when we trust God. That's how we raise our sails. And so we're doing foundations class right now, and one of the things we did in class this week is a trust walk. And so what a trust walk means is that two people partner up and that one of them puts on a blindfold and the other person walks them around the room and in between the chairs and outside on the patio and out into the parking lot, while they keep blindfolded, holding on, or the person holding on to them and guiding them around. And then after the trust walk, and then you switch partners and the other person does it. And then afterwards, people shared about their experience with each other, what that was like to trust. That is an absolute metaphor for grace, of having to let go and trust. And so afterwards in our conversation, somebody says, "Why is it so easy to trust your partner, but it's so hard to trust God?" And you know what? I think the answer to that is because we still have this old lingering concept from our childhood of what God is or who God is. We have this old idea that God is this man in the sky that is separate from us, that has an agenda, that keeps score, that plays, has preferences, that judges us, that gives to some and not to others. It's time we update our software. That's an old idea. It's time we update our software and tell ourselves and remind ourselves that God is this infinite intelligence that I live in and that expresses in me. God is the good itself that is omnipresent. I am an outpicturing of that divine presence and supported by all that it is, because it is continuously, effortlessly, and endlessly expressing through me and through my life and as my life. There's no separation. That doesn't judge me or play preferences. God doesn't have favorites. We are all outpicturings of that one. We are all living that life of the divine. And so in our surrendering, what we're really doing in reality is all we're doing is surrendering our fear. We're surrendering our need to struggle. We're surrendering our need to control. And in reality, what we're doing is we are surrendering ourselves to the good. We are surrendering to our highest selves. We are surrendering to the order of the universe, that order that holds the planets in their orbits. That order that is expressing as this universe where a tree expels oxygen and we breathe in oxygen and expel carbon dioxide, which the tree takes in and gives back to us, this perfect cycle that we could not have made up on our own and figured out. We're surrendering to that intelligence. The intelligence that allows us to eat something and have that turned into muscle and bone and tissue. The intelligence that exists within your body that when you cut yourself, your blood clots and you don't bleed to death. That's what we're surrendering into. Not some man in the sky who has whims and fancies and favorites. We're surrendering to that intelligence. We're surrendering to the good. And so I have a question for you. What is it that you must let go of in order to experience grace? What is it that you must let go of in order to step into grace? I'm going to ask you to write that down on that little piece of paper. So Barbara has a pen that she's handing out if you would like a pen. You should have a piece of paper there that says notes on your white sheet. That's what that's for. And you don't have to write yet. Once you get your pen and your paper, you can just go ahead and close your eyes. And so I invite you just to close your eyes and to turn within, where the wisdom of the universe resides here at the very center of your being, that infinite intelligence. And so I recognize that there is only one life, and that is the life that we are living. There is only one energy and one presence and one beingness. It surrounds us and envelops us and fills us and is us. And so I know that we are that in form, and that one always is right at the center of our being. And so we turn to that within, that is our own divine essence, and that is wisdom itself. And we ask that within us, what must I let go of in order to step into grace? What must I release in order to experience grace in my life? What must I release or let go of? And to go ahead and write that down when that answer comes to you. What must I release or let go of in order to experience grace? What must I let go of? And then to close your eyes again. And to ask that wisdom at the very center of your beingness. What must I embrace in order to experience grace in my life? What must I embrace? Is it an idea? Perhaps that life is for me? Is it an attitude? Maybe that I am safe or that it's safe to trust? What must I embrace in order to step into grace? What must I embrace? And so I invite you to open your eyes. I must release the idea that I have to do it all. And I must embrace the idea that I am safe. That's how I step into grace. And so grace becomes active when we activate it. And we activate it by letting go of that negative focus. Why it can't be, why I can't have. When we let go of thinking that we have to control everything in order to manifest peace inside of us or in our lives. To let go of a manipulation, thinking we have to manipulate things to be at peace. We activate grace in our lives when we let go of the struggle and we lean into good. We lean into spirit. We lean into life that is absolutely on our side and for us. We activate grace when we trust life, when we trust that life is on our side. We activate grace when we notice, when we pay attention, how it shows up, and then feel grateful for that. So my invitation to you this week is to do those things you just wrote down. It'll shift things in your life. My invitation to you is to trust life and to know that life is on your side all of the time. To notice and to pay attention to how that good shows up, how that grace shows up, how the things that feel like a gift show up in your life. Expect the good. And as a result, you will be living in grace, experiencing grace. So blessings to every single one of you on this path of ever giving way to your spirit in an ever greater and greater ways and ever experiencing a more magnificent life. Blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer, and how good it is to be in this place of remembrance. How good it is to be in recognition of that infinite one that is always holding every single one of us in its embrace. How good it is to be feeling and sensing and knowing and marinating in that one presence of good, life itself, love and peace and good without bound, that magnificence of God. For this is the gift that has already been made. This is the gift that is continuously and effortlessly pouring itself out as this entire universe and as our very own lives and as who we are. For we are never separate or apart, distinct or other than this infinite one, for we are it in expression. We are the outpicturing of that infinite nature of God, and our life is the outpicturing, the outflow, the individuation of this presence like beams of sunlight from the sun. We are like beams of that light here in this world, continuously sourced from that one. And so today, in our recognition of our oneness with that, we step into grace. For that is the very nature of God, the givingness of Spirit, the continual outpouring of Spirit. That is the nature of life and the nature of our lives. And so today we just step into that in gratitude, and we relax and we let go. Shoulders back, head back in trust, in confidence, in faith, and we allow ourselves to float in this presence, in the arms of that divine one. How good it is to remember this. And so it is in our remembering that we are absolutely blessed, for we have always been blessed, but it is in our openness and in our receptivity that we receive those blessings. And so today, I just give great thanks for this magnificent life, this magnificent one that is all around us, that is in and through each one of us. I give thanks for this. And so I release this spoken word into that infinite law of God, knowing that as it is spoken, it is absolutely done and it is unfolding itself now. How blessed we are. And so I release this word, and in gratitude I say, and so it is.